to America. Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debt.
Welcome back, my friend. This is the second hour of Take No Prisoners. The prisoners are getting the short end of it today. We are going to get on to that offset bond in just a moment or two. But, David, the point I was making at the beginning of our conversation was that these are not such hard things to learn. The principles are very simple. We've condensed all of them into those study notes. Have you seen those with the hot links?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can immediately, if you want to find out about claims and challenging claims, you click the hot link in the table of contents, and you're there, and the text generally features those particular bankruptcy rules and statutes that are applicable, or it hot links directly over to the web to gain access to the direct copy of those as well. So my feeling is, as in all BIC process, that we redraft. We make sure the redraft includes a list of stipulations. We have an official one we call Schedule D, Default Stipulations, Confessions, and Admissions, or something like that, and Schedule C, Confession of Judgment. And then we would ask that guy point blank, a friendly creditor would ask him, well, who are you? I'm a creditor. There's my B-10. Oh, Your Honor, I'm a creditor, too. Here's my B-10. I didn't know we could put it in this venue. And suddenly you got five creditors out of nowhere, and we want to ask a simple question. Where's the redraft of the contract? What redraft? Now, here's where it gets interesting. This is standard courtroom procedure. The judge might even enjoy it when he sees just how much you're outclassing the attorney. I know plenty of judges who hate attorneys.
That's interesting.
I mean, hyenas eat their young when they're born. So the procedure is very simple. You don't have the redraft. Well, here's people's exhibit such and such, or here it is attached to my B-10. I'd like to introduce into the record. Oh, I object. Object to what? This is a B-10 in this case. It's already filed in, or however you introduce it. Object to what? Let's get it in the record so you can read it, and let's find out what happened to the redraft. Well, Your Honor, if Mr. Jones here, Your Honor, has the court not been noticed of administrative document number 527? I believe the Secretary of State's representative certified that there was a private administrative agreement here, and I believe, has the court not been noticed of Postmaster's form 3811 with Mr. Jones' signature on it, or Mr. Jones' assistant signature on it, that he received service of this? Has the court not received notice of form certificate of service signed by notary public such and such on a particular date indicating the contents of that delivery and service? So apparently Mr. Jones, would you ask Mr. Jones if it's his position, unless you have an opportunity to question him directly, Mr. Jones, is it your position that you never received the redraft, that you were not a participant here despite all of this evidence? And now he starts scrambling. Well, I'm only the attorney here. I just received this case a day ago. Oh, I see. Well, why don't we subpoena in the attorney, in fact, who apparently... It sounds to me like you're testifying that the attorneys are participants here. Let's bring in who's the head of your law firm, Mr. Jones? Let's bring him in. And now you start decomposing the other side. Well, it sounds to me, Your Honor, like the entire document they're trying to introduce is phony and that they don't have anyone to verify the signature. I think we've got to go back to ground zero here. Would you ask Mr. Jones to produce the original document as well while he's at it? Folks, that music means we're going to a break. David, I hope that gives you some ideas.
Yes, it does. And very much so.
Very good. Thanks for being on the program. Folks, we'll be back in a minute. We're going to go right to the offset bond.
Bless your heart. Bye-bye.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Have you ever considered purchasing storable foods? Well, now is the time to do so and take advantage of Ready Reserve Foods pre-special, pre-oil shortage, pre-drought, pre-bank collapse, pre-housing collapse, pre-dollar collapse, pre-economic collapse, pre-martial law, pre-war, possibly nuclear, pre-bird flu special, and your order will be shipped within 7 business days, not months like some food brokers. Ready Reserve manufactures the food we sell, and we have done so continuously for over 35 years. Call 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. We produce only the best in storable foods, all from the USA. 1-800-453-2202. Prepare yourself and family for some rough and bumpy times. 1-800-453-2202 or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Thank you, David, for spending time with us. Folks, all of that information, that whole approach of turning the bankruptcy on its ear is reviewed on the Collecting in Bankruptcy CD, and that's available from Brian at takenoprisoners@hush.com. If you're in a situation like David's, it really is a worthwhile, almost indispensable tool to know what you're doing. Because if you just go in there to slow things down, it's only a matter of time before you get kicked out for not having a tax return, which is easy enough, by the way, to take care of, for not having an appropriate plan, for not having the funds to pay the trustee. A million things they can toss you out on. Or they simply use it like they use every other tool for the opposite of the way it appears. When it comes to patriots, bankruptcy court exists for the purpose of enforcing the contracts or adhesion contracts of United States institutions. Well, we can turn that on its ear, and that's what the Collecting in Bankruptcy course was all about. And it succeeded better than I had high hopes for, especially on day two. Now, on to the prisoners. For the last 2 weeks, we've been discussing the instruments by which we institute BIC payment. And last week we discussed the private offset bond. I want to reread the bond order and correct an error I made last week. So the bond order states as paragraph number one, the fiduciary shall instantly ledger the sum certain of one-half, 50% of the above-noted face value of this private offset bond to the benefit and use of the United States Department of the Treasury for a period of, and then you set the term, from the date of issuance through the date of expiration of this bond or the date of maturity. Now, the term is up to you. If you want to give people an incentive to comply with your instructions, wouldn't a bond that extends out 10, 15, 20, 30 years be a nice gift? Let's say you wanted to assist a charitable institution, as I'm in the process of doing. A bond giving them the rights, or at least the rights to half of the windfall profit for a 10-year period of time, would be a very nice gesture, certainly an indication of your good faith. If it's a bank, do you not think the bank can devise methods by which it can fractionalize that money out and create more havoc around the world? Well, put in those words, perhaps we shouldn't be doing this at all. But this is the world we live in. Point number two. Paragraph number two. The fiduciary shall ledger dollar for dollar against this private offset bond by end of business on the day of presentment, or the next business day if presentment is made on a non-business day, any and all liabilities, whether attributed to or on behalf of the creditor, the creditor's collateral, such as your straw party or anyone else's straw party, or any other party for which creditor makes this private offset bond available by his signature and or seal on the instrument of obligation. That would be the invoice, the offer, whatever they make you. And basically, your signature is under the words accepted for value, isn't it? For which creditor makes his private offset bond available by his signature or seal on the instrument of obligation, or otherwise gives notice to pay, satisfy, or discharge the obligation, regardless of the form of the instrument of obligation, whether the instrument of obligation is commercial, negotiable, non-negotiable, express, or implied, through the creditor's, that means the set-off, through the creditor's private offset account. And then you would have the Social Security number without dashes. Now, last week I said private offset account, pass-through account, and then the straw man's name and the EIN. That was a mistake. It should not have said pass-through account. So this paragraph simply reads, through the creditor's private offset account, 1234567 89, as authorized herein, in any amount or cumulative amounts up to and including one-half, in parentheses, 50%, close parenthesis, of the above-noted face value of this private offset bond. Let me be clear that the private offset account is the EIN number. It's your account. It's whatever account is being maintained, whether that's real, imagined, or hypothecated from your existence as the owner of the company, as opposed to the pass-through account, which is exactly what it says. Now, for those of you who have access to some of the templates that I've talked about publicly in the past, I was reviewing one of my databases and refining it for purposes eventually of general distribution. And I realized that the programming for the pass-through account is set up so that when the word pass-through account appears as a field in the document, it will be replaced by the straw party's name in uppercase letters, a single space, and the Social Security number. And that, I remember when I programmed that a while ago, why I did it that way. It's a very simple philosophy. The pass-through account is Sam Kennedy or Samuel T. Kennedy or Kennedy ST, 1234567 89. That's the account. It's got a fiction forged name by misnomer, and it also has a number that has been attached to it. Those two, to me, identify in the simplest way for the public to locate the pass-through account, the account that they deal with in their public books. Paragraph number three, upon presentment of such instrument of obligation, the fiduciary shall pay, discharge, and satisfy the obligation in full, dollar for dollar, through the creditor's private offset account, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In any amount or cumulative amounts up to and including 1/2, parenthesis, 50%, close parenthesis, of the above noted face value of this private offset bond. So we're talking about all instruments of obligation and all future instruments of obligation up to half the value of the bond. Paragraph 4, the fiduciary shall have 30 days from the date of delivery specified on United States Postal Service Form number 3811, which is the green card, to dishonor this bond by returning it to the principal with all associated transactions annexed thereto by United States certified mail at the mailing location identified hereunder. I now list registered mail as the appropriate return mail for any communication back to the principal, the creditor, in living man capacity, in rerum natura, because I don't accept mail other than registered mail back. The fiduciary's failure to return the bond as indicated will stipulate the fiduciary's acceptance and honoring of this instrument and all terms and provisions herein as an operation of law. Paragraph 5. All communication shall be sent by United States certified mail to the principal at the location noted hereunder exactly as shown. Service in any other manner will be defective on its face. The principal will accept post at the said postal location only. Paragraph 6. This bond shall be ledgered as an asset to the benefit of the United States Department of the Treasury. 7. This bond expires at 11:59:59 p.m. Probably should say Eastern Standard Time. And then it gives the date of expiration, which would be the day before the date of issuance, except the correct numbers of years hence. So if it's a 10-year bond and it was issued November 12th of 2007, then expiration would be November 11th at 11:59 p.m. with 59 seconds in the year 2017. Signed on this, the blank day of the blank month in the year of our Lord, 2000, with a capital T and a capital T. And 7. And then we have a line for our signature underneath of which it says Samuel Thomas semicolon Kennedy comma creditor. So we're signing in full capacity here, of course. We can't issue an instrument like this in representative capacity without committing fraud. Private offset account comma should say EIN, and then you might list the pass-through account as well, being the straw man. Or you might just say secured party creditor to legal fiction U.S. person, and list the straw man's name in uppercase with the Social Security number. And then the address, which ideally is a general post office address. If you do use general post office, it would say general with a small g, post small p, with a hyphen, office, small o, and then it would say the location underneath that, the city with a period, and then the state name in its simplified form, such as New York. You might have a hyphen state, or the nation New York, or New York, the land, and a lot of ways of saying that. You could add a line below that says non-domestic without the United States, just so long as it's clear who to the document is and where the authority comes from. Now, any patriot who sends me an email, or better yet, an angry email, where do you have the authority to issue instruments? You know, my first question to them is, do you own a mortgage? Excuse me. Do you have a mortgage? Obviously, you don't own a mortgage. Well, maybe you do. Maybe you're a smart one and you've been issuing mortgages on behalf of other people. Do you have a mortgage? If you do, then where'd your authority come to sign that promissory note? Well, that's a promissory note. Well, this is a bond. Folks, what is a bond? Let's deliberate that question and see what kind of answers we get when we come back after this brief break. What is a bond?
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
It is through the use of ritual that evil gets power. What do you think those people do at Bohemian Grove? It is ritual. They gather and perform ritual with evil intent. The more vile the ritual, the greater the evil that comes from it. This is done to spread their evil influence and control over our lives. Legend has it that the Knights Templar found the Holy Grail, and it was this that made them so powerful. Can we really believe they found the Holy Grail in their dig at the Temple of Solomon? What they most likely found was the occult knowledge of the greatest magician of all, Solomon. This is what turned the Templars from monks into masons. We, ordinary people, can use these same principles and empower ourselves to obtain protection and favors. The Bible is loaded with examples of how ritual was used by prophet and angel. Ritual prayer is an effective way of getting results. We can use it to bring positive results to one's family, community, and even nation. For more information and ordering on the book, The Power of Ritual Prayer, go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner. Call 215-500-2972.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Welcome back, my friend. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Folks, the question before the break was, what is a bond? And the correct answer is evidence of debt, evidence of liability. So when General Electric issues a bond for $10,000 and you buy it for $9,000 and change, you have a lien right against General Electric for the face value of the bond at maturity. They have promised to pay you. What is evidence of liability? A promise to pay. Does that sound familiar? What is a promissory note? A promise to pay. A bond is a well-disguised promissory note. Are you surprised that within the public fictional venue they have so many different names for the same item? So they can have different markets, and so they can make more taxes on the items, And so all that money can be transferred through the Federal Reserve Bank to the IMF and the 8 or 10 banking families that run the world. Does that surprise you? A bond is a promissory note. And if you look carefully at our promissory notes, which we're about to, I say ours loosely, the bonded promissory note names fiduciaries, doesn't it? Let's look at that note. To all the folks in prison and their families, please understand that the offset bond we just discussed is generally being used by folks as a routing vehicle to be routed through the indemnity bond that has been placed with the Secretary of the Treasury to provide to the Secretary of the Treasury a list of account holders who should be the benefits of the set-offs when we authorize them. The bonded promissory note takes that value and divides it up in a colorable way so that half belongs to the Secretary of the Treasury or the Department of the Treasury, and half is to the benefit of the creditor who wrote the item to be used for set-off. So it's really half to be used to the benefit of the straw party, to the benefit of the birth certificate account, to the benefit of all the account holders. So it's really being used for the benefit of the United States. Does that remind you of Section 7701 of the Internal Revenue Code, where they define a state shall include Washington, D.C.? The term state shall include Washington, D.C., or includes Washington, D.C. They're very funny about that. It's tremendously clever language. And then they define the United States as including the states and Washington, D.C. Ergo, Washington, D.C. and Washington, D.C. Should we be surprised that the clever authors who contrive such a thing in the back rooms of the publishing companies of the law books that fill the law libraries of America, much to the detriment of the rest of the second-class citizens, would include language that names the party twice well disguised? Well, I don't think so. And so if they're used to seeing that, if they're accustomed to dealing with those kinds of issues, we can mirror the process and give them the exact same situation in mirror image to digest. And that's what the bond of promissory note and the offset bond does. It's to the benefit of the United States, and the United States just does it in a colorable fashion. The bonded promissory note says in the upper right hand corner the number of the note. We've already reviewed how to establish those numbers. The bonded promissory note title then is in the center of the page in uppercase letters, bonded promissory note, and below that it says USPS certified mail tracking number, and it gives the number that would be attached to this promissory note. Below that, we have the amount in numeric form written out with a dollar sign and three dashes on either side of it. Could be three asterisks. And then below that, the amount of the bond written out in plain English. 5,000,000 United States dollars. Under that, on the left side, aligned left, it says, to the order of, with a colon in bold face type, then it says, Henry M. Paulson Jr., DBA, Secretary of the United States Treasury. Below that, we name a fiduciary on the instrument. Could be a clerk, could be a judge, could be a prosecutor. D/B/A, and then we name the position of that officer. So it could be John Jones, DBA, clerk of court, comma, United States District Court, or wherever the court is, and fiduciary trustee on this bonded promissory note. There may also be multiple fiduciaries on the note, co-fiduciaries. We'll pick this up after the break, folks. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Welcome back, my friends. We've been pursuing hard now for the last few minutes the actual BIC technology for those fellows who are in the joint and need to construct their own. Now, remember, fellows, this is for entertainment purposes only. I understand there may not be sufficient entertainment inside federal and state lockup, so I hope this contributes to your good times. Please be cautious, of course. We can name co-fiduciaries on the instrument. We often do. It could be a judge and clerk on the same instrument. Could be a prosecutor, judge, and the clerk on the same instrument. Would I send separate notices of this, separate processes to each? No. In my opinion, one is sufficient. If I was communicating with three different officers at Macy's, I'd probably provide the letter to the highest ranking officer and let it trickle down naturally. And that's the same thing I would do in this scenario. I think serving the clerk or the judge would be sufficient. Sometimes we use separate promissory notes reflecting back through the same offset bond, routing back then through multiple indemnity bonds. For instance, if there was a $3 billion assumed liability to the federal government for multiple felonies, then we might have a whopping big promissory note going to the clerk and the judge to settle that liability, perhaps a smaller one to pretrial services, perhaps another to a probation department, all routing through the offset bond, and the offset bond would be routing through 10 or 15, $300 million indemnity bonds, and that's how the mass sum of funds would be accumulated for disbursement through the promissory notes. Now, again, this first heading on the promissory note says to the order of. So somehow this promissory note is to the benefit of these parties. What does that mean, to the order of? It implies it means pay to the order of, or promise to pay to the order of. We've kept it nonspecific for various reasons, but this is not written in stone, and that could be changed accordingly. I think pay to the order of would be appropriate, but make it clear that it's a promise to pay, and that would come in the order down below, or in the statement on the promissory note down below. We skip a double line, and there's another bold heading off to the left that says, in the amount of, colon, and indented, it gives the amount of the bond in United States dollars with the numeric amount in parenthesis next to it. Skip another double line, and a heading appears justified left in bold typeface, which says, for credit to, colon, and then indented, it says, whatever the institution is that we're dealing with. So it might be for credit to the United States District Court, for credit to the Internal Revenue Service, for credit to whomever we wish to benefit, ultimately being the account that that agency is holding. So in total, this particular line or heading would read, for credit to, colon, United States Bureau of Prison account number, and it may be listing the account, or New York City tax parcel number, such and such, an adequate description so the recipients of the bonds can identify where to post the payment. And it goes on to say, to the benefit of Samuel T. Kennedy, or Sam Kennedy, uppercase letters, Social Security number 12345679. So we are ultimately asking for credit to the benefit of the straw party, which is a United States vessel, is it not? Oh, it's not? I see. Well, then where did it come from? I didn't create it. I'd like to know the origin of this entity. Well, that's you, sir. It is. Your Honor, will you step down and take the stand so I can swear you in to give sworn testimony under penalty of perjury as to your power of attorney to identify who I am or disqualify my personage? And then below that for credit to heading, we skip another double line and justified left in boldface type, it says, routing through, R-O-U-T-I-N-G, capital T-H-R-O-U-G-H, colon, indent, and in boldface type it says, private offset bond number, whatever, to Secretary of the Treasury, Henry M. Paulson. So we're identifying the offset bond or the indemnity bond, if you went directly that way, which you can, or the BC bond or any other instrument, if you know what you're doing. And no one should be undertaking this who doesn't know what they're doing. If you don't understand that a bond is evidence of debt and ultimately, therefore, a promise to pay, then it is premature for you to even be considering using an instrument like this, because you would not be considering the usage of a public policy instrument. You would be considering just how badly you wish to cause yourself problems. And by the way, in very small type, probably 6 or 7 point type, in parenthesis, squeezed in immediately below routing through, it says the words securitization bond. So we are identifying for their purposes that there is a securitization bond known as private offset bond number, whatever, on deposit. It might say on deposit with the Secretary of the Treasury. So this may say routing through, colon, securitization bond being held by Secretary of the Treasury under title private offset bond number, whatever. We skip a line and the bond begins by stating indented, this negotiable instrument, comma, tendered lawfully by Samuel Thomas Kennedy, in parenthesis, with quotations, maker, close quotations in parenthesis, in good faith shall evidence as a debt to the payee pursuant to the following terms. Right there, we stated it's a promissory note. Shall evidence as a debt to the payee, with a capital P, pursuant to the following terms. A promise to pay. That's what that is, folks, a promise to pay. Just stated a different way. Number one, this note shall be posted in full, that's underlined, dollar for dollar, pursuant to the credit order noted above, and presented to the co-payee, Secretary of the Treasury, Henry M. Paulson, Jr., in the attached pre-address envelope by certified mail / RR. In parenthesis, certificates completed and supplied. And then there's a little semicolon. There should be a semicolon. Number two, payee shall, comma, upon receipt of this instrument, actually you don't need the commas, payee shall, upon receipt of this instrument, charge account 123456789, that's your EIN account, via pass-through account, and that would be the straw party's name followed by the Social Security number, for the purpose of terminating any past, present, or future liabilities. This will take me a second to figure out here. It's covered by one of those four entertainment-only stickers. Express for or future liabilities express or implied, attached or attributed to, and then it says pass-through account again. And, folks, this is why people get confused by this stuff, because it may not be intuitively clear by the database inclusions what's being stated. Let me restate this. Let's say you are intervening on behalf of Sarah Morris, nice little 85-year-old lady up the block who's about to be evicted. This would say, payee shall, upon receipt of this instrument, charge account 123456789, your pass-through account, excuse me, your private offset account. That's what that number is. This would state, payee shall, upon receipt of this instrument, charge account or private offset account 123456789 via pass-through account Sam Kennedy in uppercase letters 123-45-6789 for the purpose of terminating any past, present, or future liabilities expressed or implied, attached or attributed to Sarah Morris, uppercase letters 125-whatever-it-is. So this is a way that I would intervene on behalf of her straw party. I hope all of that's clear. If you read the transcript carefully, I think it will be. Paragraph number three. Pay, excuse me, shall ledger this note, with a capital N, for a period of 12 months, that could be 12 years, that could be 36 months, whatever you choose as a term, commencing the start of business on, and that would be the date of issuance, until close of business, and that would be the date of expiration, comma, not to exceed, and then you could list the full number of days. In this case, it was a one-year bond, so it said 365 days, comma, at an interest rate of 7%, per annum, comma, and now this could be without interest, and this could be without that listing of days. It could just say, payee shall ledger this note for a period of 36 months commencing the start of business on November 1st, 2007 until a close of business October 30th, I think that's right, or October 31st, rather, to all you Halloween fans, God help you. Until close of business, October 31st, 2010, comma, and then it moves on to paragraph four, the final paragraph order, Upon maturity, comma, this note shall be due and payable in full with interest and any associated fees, period. Payment shall be ledgered against private offset bond number, whatever, and that name, by the way, anytime you name another instrument, I like to put it in italics. That's a pretty standard convention. So private shall be ledgered against private offset bond number, whatever, in parentheses, USPS certified mail tracking number. So you give them another number to track it if you would like, close parenthesis, comma. Held and secured by Henry M. Paulson, comma, Jr., period, comma, Secretary of the United States Treasury, Secretary of the U.S. Treasury. Anyone who has this instrument, it says U.S., it needs periods, U, period, S, period, Treasury, with a space between them. And then there's room for a date on the bottom left, and on the right a signature, which says authorized representative. Now, this actually should be done by the living man, as far as I'm concerned, so authorized representative is a bit inaccurate and probably should just be replaced by the term secured party creditor or maker or some indication that this is a living man issuing the instrument. And below that, although it's not necessary, are parties to whom this item is, or copies of this item with their addresses are being mailed. And that would include the living man, by the way, is a party to this action, Henry Paulson, the named fiduciaries, and any other party you think might deserve a copy of this instrument, such as a prosecutor, a warden, or someone of that sort. So those are the three basic instruments that are used in BIC. It's the use of the instruments that most people are probably concerned about when they're constructing them. But I'm personally concerned about the decision to use instruments if one doesn't fully understand the enforcement modalities. Now, if you've been sitting in prison for a number of years, then it's safe to assume if you've had an interest in commercial remedies that your knowledge is substantial, very likely more than mine, which, by the way, is not all that hard a threshold to surpass. And so it may be intuitively obvious to you how items of this sort can be used. The beauty of the BIC instruments is that they utilize public implied procedures as leverage for the enforcement of the private settlement. Because by dividing up the fiduciaries on the instrument, dividing the responsibility, dividing the funds, we are acting through public policy in a manner that is wholly consistent with the statutory mandate in judicial cases under 28 U.S.C. Section 2041 that states that all funds in a pending or adjudicated case must be deposited with Treasury. And that is to be expected because Treasury is the place where all of this inventory is being maintained. Treasury is a central branch for all the neighborhood or all of the, what do they call them with banks? All the local branches. And that's all it is, folks. Anyone who doubts that should spend a day in county court and watch the proceedings. So clearly operating according to particular financial parameters, no different than many of the observations one would have in a bank. They sit usually in an elevated posture, the clerk on the at the right arm of the judge guiding him through what needs to be done, and all of this being entered in the books often as they proceed. The only difference is the people addressing that institution feel for some reason that they are compelled to participate. Whereas in banking, it's up to you to choose the bank. So that completes the initial discussion, and tomorrow night we're going to start right out with the comprehensive administrative remedy, probably with the commercial lien remedy. There are two comprehensive remedies, option three and option four, of the five or six ways we have of making presentment of these notes in a judicial or post-judicial situation. So I'm going to go to the phones now. I realize there's not that much time left. Bob, are you there? Bob in, I don't know where Bob's from. Bob, are you present? Hello, Bob? No, Bob. Vince in Oregon, are you present? Hello, Vince? Folks, we've been abandoned, and rightly so, because my apologies for keeping people waiting. Now, conversely, might I observe that he who is patient often receives satisfaction. All of my married friends out there are probably smiling at that one. Folks, we'll be back in 2 minutes after this break to wrap up the program and a couple of final announcements. You're listening to Take No Prisoners at the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Dr. Sam Cannon.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Glad you made it. On the left, you'll notice a coin slot. Insert dollars only, please.
I got no bread for the rent. I got my next two paychecks spent. And my debts are rising faster than a rocket.
Welcome back, my friends. This is the final segment of Take No Prisoners. If you're, I just received an email seconds ago about someone I had met at a couple of our meetings. Apparently he was a federal fugitive and got apprehended. Of course, he's not a fugitive. The straw party is, and there needs to be, in cases like that, a clear transfer of liability. And over the next 2 weeks, I hope to get to that point where we get to our rescission package, how we would surrender the surety for the defendant once we pay the case off. And that's what prison extraction is all about, putting a liability on the other parties and then challenging them to testify as to what they're doing holding the wrong man or woman in prison. That's where we're headed. We will get there. First, we have to build the instruments and build the knowledge and understanding for those families. I suggest that if you have an interest in prison extraction, you download last Sunday, November 4th, and the Sunday before, which would have been October something or other, when we started compiling this BIC user's manual regarding prison extraction. Last Sunday, we did the offset bond, and the week before, we concentrated on the indemnity bond. We have Richard from Alabama on the line. Richard, we only have 2 minutes, if that, here, so let's see if we can get you in. Welcome.
Hi. Some cities in Alabama have instituted a policy of the 30-day mandatory impoundment of cars. And that is to coerce you to accept arraignment and to not fight on jurisdiction or, you know, try to beat them any other way. Because you can't beat the mandatory 30-day impound, as far as I know. And I'd hope that maybe you have an idea to beat the mandatory 30-day impound.
Yeah, that's a classic arrest of the vessel.
Yeah.
They need to arrest the vessel before they have the case, don't they?
Yeah.
My answer is standard BIC. I would pay it in advance, and I would make it clear that the item is paid, and that beyond that, my charge for impairment of my contract with them by their approval, by agreement of the parties, is been established. In my case, it's established at $50 million per impairment, and that's by my previous agreement with the straw party. And then I would proceed to enforce that. And they may wake up to that real fast, especially if a number of people make it clear to them what the risks are. And I would give them all absolute clear notice, including the local police, the local sheriffs, all of the departments that might participate in that, that this is private property. That's a hard argument to make, of course, when you're driving around with their plates. So you could turn that plate into a rental also. So those are just some of the thoughts I have.
Can you give me another remark?
Actually, the music's coming on in the background. We're just about done. So, Richard, why don't you call in tomorrow night and we can continue the discussion. Thank you for calling. Folks, thank you for joining us. We're going to continue this discussion on prison extraction tomorrow evening. And this is perhaps the most important discussion that we can have, because those who are political prisoners sitting in the gulags and the prisons of America, many of them operated by the Collections Corporation of America, and no, that is not some sort of misappropriation of the English language because of some hidden Asian heritage I have. That's what they're all about. The Corrections Corporation of America is all about collecting for America and transferring those liabilities to companies like Walmart, who are willing to participate in the securitization of those instruments, just like what was the power company out in Oregon or Washington. We all know that.